very, very special musical guest. If you remember Spinal Tap, you're going to remember Derek Smalls. Derek Smalls is a very special, fun guest on today's program. A little bit about bluegrass, not much. A little bit about skiffle, not much. A little bit about the Fiji Islands. I don't know why, but it's in there. A conversation with Derek Smalls from Spinal Tap. I am very pleased to welcome to Unreal Bluegrass a legend. I think I'm going to guess 40, 50 years in the music world. Derek Smalls.
Hello, Steve. I don't bother to count the years anymore.
Well,
just the checks.
But then it's funny that you don't count the years. The album we're going to talk about is called Smalls Change: Meditations Upon Aging.
Yes.
So you're not counting the years, but you're at least reflective of the fact that some time has passed.
I'm not oblivious to them, but I'm not, I'm not serving as a chartered accountant at my own passage.
I don't blame you for that. Listen, thanks so much for agreeing to be on Unreal Bluegrass. It's a real treat for the audience.
Let's let them decide that.
We will.
Okay.
The album Smalls Change was released in 2018. May I take the opportunity to remind the listeners? I think, Derek, the first time that the world was reintroduced to Spinal Tap, of which you were an original, if not a founding member.
A seminal member, I like to think.
I think that's the perfect description. I think probably 84 there was a documentary from a young producer by the name of Marty DeBerge.
It's known in my circles as the hatchet job. Yes.
Well, I've read your concerns about that, but I think it served the purpose of this. It put Spinal Tap and particularly Derek Smalls back in the forefront. And the band had been around for a long time, many different iterations and different sounds, but I think that it helped to put everybody's focus back on Spinal Tap. And now here's Derek Smalls out on the road again.
Yes. Well, I don't want to dwell on this, but, you know, a lot of people said, hey, mate, it put Spinal Tap on the map. And I said, well, that's not a big deal. There are a lot of dumps on the map.
That's true. The album, Smalls Change, Meditations Upon Aging, will be what we discuss, and we're gonna transform into the stage production, and so there may be some few other little different eddies along the way, if you don't mind. There's some questions I've been wanting to ask you since 1984, and I mean, I never had
a
chance.
Right.
Smalls Change starts out with the Openture, which I think is a good way of describing what's coming on the album as far as the meditative nature of the reflection upon aging. Simple enough phrase, but I think it does well to introduce the concept coming.
Age is just a number. Number is just a word. And word is just a thing.
I think that says it all. I will open the program with that cut, by the way, just so you know. But I wanted the people to hear from you.
It's actually me.
Yeah. Yeah, and so it gets right into the whole concept, seems to be, of this album is you're reflecting back on rock and roll. I mean, we start off right away with you need a rock and roll transplant, which I think is what you're telling people if they're sort of no longer into heavy metal, Spinal Tap or Derek Small sound.
They think they're too old to get up and shake it. They think they're too old to rock. They think, it's time to put that stuff away. That's childish stuff. That's what keeps you young, childish stuff.
There are some great Smalls Change. The title cut, by the way, I have to tell you this before I forget. Smalls Change, the title cut from the album, is really almost cinematic and sweeping, and I think it ought to be. I think it ought to be a movie soundtrack.
Well, thank you. I don't know if you saw the video from it, but it is sweeping and cinematic because we hired a drone. Which swoops down from great heights over this very picturesque landscape, and the first half of it, where I'm realizing that I'm on my own, there is no band anymore, is in a forest, and then the second triumphant, defiant, you might say, half of the song, is the drone is swooping over these great scenes at the beach, at the ocean.
Seen that?
It's like I'm rising out of the foam, the salty foam.
Well, you have an orchestra on this cut, which will lead me into some discussion of the. Yeah, go ahead. Talk about how did you get an orchestra into this event?
Well, you know, it's like everything else. You pay them money,
well, there you go.
And they show up if they're any good. This was an orchestra actually in Budapest, which, you know, is to me was always just where you go for great, what's the thing, you know, that you eat? Goulash.
Goulash.
Great, if you want great goulash, you know, don't go to Salisbury or Birmingham. You go to Budapest.
I was
like in Budapest.
I think that I was going to say Birmingham, but again, I don't want to put words in your mouth. I'm very happy.
Well, you don't want to say Birmingham because that's Alabama. You want to say Birmingham.
Britain. Got it.
And that's Britain. But no, it's Budapest. And there's an orchestra there called the Budapest Hungarian Studio Orchestra is what it's called. And they play every day, which is, you know, what you're supposed to do. They do adverts and they do movie scores, and so they did the playing on this record, and they're great, wonderful musicians. You know, something about Eastern Europe, they didn't have freedom of speech for such a long time. They learned to play music really well. I mean, I guess there's a connection. I don't know what it is.
Well, I don't know.
But it comes out. It's going to come out in some way, I guess, is the point. And so they just played the hearts out, the little hearts out. And I don't mean to be insulting. They're a little bit shorter than other Europeans, I think, you'd find. But, it was, you know, it was time to be in Budapest. It was in the spring, in the early spring. And it's, you know, before it's in bloom. But it just seized with that sense of something's going to happen. And it did.
I know that, and of course you mentioned you pay the orchestra to come in, but there are so many great names that I think that you brought into this production of The Smalls Change, the CD we're talking about. Mm-hmm. I think these people, when you see Richard Thompson and Rick Wakeman, Dweezil Zappa, Jane Lynch lends her voice to some of the cuts later on in the album.
Mm-hmm.
You have so many, Stevie Vai, there's so many great people on this album that I think, do you feel, Derek, that they've been waiting for the opportunity to acknowledge their debt or gratitude to Derek Smalls, aside from the fact that it may be a paycheck?
Well, I talked to people about participating in the record and in the special guests in the live show. I heard one refrain over and over and over again, which is, I guess, what makes it a refrain, in their responses. And I took
okay.
that as a compliment.
Okay.
Because I've been on both sides of that equation,
well,
you know, and I know what's involved. So I think that really sums up what's going on here.
I can live with that. The all of these great players have come back, and I did not even mention, and by the way, when I get an album such as Smalls Change, Meditations Upon Aging, I listen and listen and listen before I look at any of the liner notes.
Mm.
And it's just my way of dealing with the sounds and what I may want to question about, as I knew that Derek Smalls was going to be on the program.
You're an ears first kind of guy, right?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think so. But yeah. I kept thinking that actually sounds like Donald Fagen's voice on Memo to Willie. And mm-hmm. so I listened and listened, and of course the refrain in that, or it's a partial refrain in the middle of the song, it is Donald Fagen. And you have Snarky Puppy, which is one of the greatest jazz fusion bands in the world right now, and Larry Carlton, who connects back to Donald Fagen because he did a lot of stuff for Steely Dan.
And Skunk Baxter is also on that cut, and he dates back with Fagen as well. Yeah, it's not a Steely Dan reunion for many reasons, but it's like a lot of the threads that wove Steely Dan, which would be another name for a great band.
That's a whole other band.
Steely Dan are there, you know, so it's like you could, it's the same threads, a different weave, you might say.
The part of your look back, and again, without clicking off dates, part of your look back is maybe also a couple of tunes reflect on the technology that is now butt call, MRI, both of those things are sort of reflective of, this is all the technology that, you know, I grew up a long time ago, and I've been playing music for a long time, but now these things are parts of all of our lives, and particularly MRI, I know the video that you did with Dweezil, it really, really kind of picks on the fact that not only are you getting older, there's different ways to do a look into what's going on, and you kind of reflect a little bit.
Well, there's
bit
different ways to bang your head now.
Well, that's
They'll
true.
Do it for you.
That's true.
That's the point of the song. They're banging your head for you. It's not just a look back. That would just be a nostalgia trip. It's just kind of a wide mouth gaze around, and oh, I'm still here, and this happened, and this happened, and now this is happening. So it's all of that, you know, on one CD or in one show.
You just recently released an animated video. You're live in it, or at least at least appear to be live, as much as we can tell from computer, some CGI these days, and it's
No, I was all live.
You were all live.
There was no CGI. We couldn't afford it.
Okay, it's a black and white animation.
Yeah, yeah, because it's "Give Me Some More Money" is the song, and I thought, you know, full color animation would look too lush. Like, well, what are you bitching about, mate? You paid for all the colors. So it was just like, what does poverty look like? It looks like black and white line drawing.
You have David Crosby on that. And
Paul
Schaefer, who everybody in the world knows who Paul is.
Yeah. And David Crosby, who most people think, well, not him again. but great singer, great geezer. Crusty old geezer. And Waddy Wachtel, you know, one of the great classic rock guitarists of all time. So they're on the they're on that song, but in the video, you don't see them because we couldn't afford that either. It was a way of saying, "Give me some more money," which is, of course, what the song is.
Well, let me ask you this then. We're talking to Derek Smalls, if you're just tuning in to Unreal Bluegrass. On the inside of the album, you make mention of I will say it's a charitable fund, the British Fund for Aging Rockers.
Rockers, yeah. Which made all this project possible.
Oh, well, good. All right, then, very good. Is there any endeavor to repay? Was it a grant or was it a loan?
It was a grant.
Okay.
They apparently, I was over in Albania, which now I discover is hot, but that's after I left. But I was hanging out there with my friend Eddie Dregs, who had a near death metal band over there called Chainsaw Vermin, and I was sitting in with that band, not my highest moment in life, and I saw this advert for this thing called the British Fund for Aging Rockers, which was started up back home. As far as I can tell, distribute some of the money left over from austerity. And so they chose to give grants to aging rockers, hence the name. And I went in, and I submitted an application. I filled out a form or something. And they rang up, and they said, well, what's your idea? And I said, well, my idea is you give me money, and I make a record, right? And I guess they liked that idea.
Well, it's working so far, and you now have a tour that's going to come up
I think
in November, so it must have gotten some attention. Before we get to that, though, and I promise we will, in the middle of the album, you have, in between It Don't Get Old and Faith No More, two cuts on the album, there is about a short little interlude, I would call it, which really is that both of those songs have to do with touring or rock and roll or maybe the meditation upon aging, but it's sort of a connective tissue between the two, which honestly you don't see that often in albums, certainly not in rock albums anymore, that someone would take the opportunity to write a bit of music to connect a couple of thoughts right in the middle.
Well, I think that's because my producer wanted a publishing royalty.
Okay. Well, there's that. There's always that.
There is that.
You've done something on this album, and it is. It's reflective, I don't want to go back into the how you describe the reflection, and it's not just that. It's forward-thinking. But you've done something that I don't remember ever having heard on an album. You've taken a very sort of a meditation on aging as it applies to someone who doesn't get a lot of sympathy for the ravages of aging, if you want to describe them that way. But on Hell to Pay, you've written a very gentle song and looking into the life of the eternal life, I suppose, until the end, of Satan.
Of the extreme, supreme evil one, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I helped write in an awful lot of ways the Spinal Tap classic Christmas with the Devil. And it came from my long time. I'd call it somewhere between dabbling in a dalliance with concepts related to Satanism or what you might call Satanism. And so I think a lot about him, the devil. And in particular, I was thinking about, well, he's getting older, mate, you know. We all do it. He must be doing it too. and he's probably, you know, getting on in years, and he's looking in. I don't know if they have mirrors in hell. I think they should have probably either none.
There must be something.
Or two men.
There must be something reflective down there, don't you think?
Something to torture you, and yeah. I think too many mirrors would be it, you know, because like all, if you go to primitive, that you're not supposed to say primitive anymore, but you know what I mean, countries, they don't have mirrors. Like Fiji didn't have mirrors until the Brits came.
I did not know
and
that.
And so they must have looked like hell, and that's why the Brits tried to teach them Methodism. But hell may be just a place that's, you know, I'm just thinking about this, but it's probably just a hole of mirrors would be hell, you know, because you're constantly bumping into yourself and then you catch on fire. Mm-hmm. I don't know how that works, but anyway, so I was thinking, he's getting older. He's probably got a little depletion upstairs. I don't mean mentally. I mean on the scalpel area. And so he must be thinking, what should I do? Should I get plugs, thinks the devil? Or should I get, regain or Rogain or whatever they call it? Or what? And so I came up with the idea. Now, probably when he thinks about it, hell toupee, in the sense of toupee.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's a very touching.
So that's another song with the orchestra. And it started out as a rocker. It really did. It was written as a rocker. And it just didn't work. And I said to CJ, the producer, I said, this song's gone off the record if we don't do something with it. And I went home, and I got into a mood, I guess you'd call it. And I started playing it at the piano, which was not my instrument, which I guess was what was magical about it, because it was not my instrument. But it just slowed down and got very thoughtful, and then we gave it to the arranger of the orchestra, and it came out like that.
I have to say, it's a gorgeous lament that I don't think you're going to hear many for that particular subject of a song.
Yeah, I don't mean to pick a toe with you, but I wouldn't say it's a lament. I'd say it's I'm feeling empathy with him.
Okay, good enough. That's a
but,
much better.
You know,
I
wouldn't wear a toupee, but I don't feel sorry for him for doing it. Let's put it that way.
I think everybody's got a choice to make.
That's it. The devil makes his choice, and he takes the hindmost.
That's right. The Jane Lynch, let me tie this in a bit, and we'll talk a little bit about the stage. I do not want to leave you without talking about When Men Did Rock with Rick Wakeman, but Jane Lynch's voice is on a tune, and I've seen a little bit of a video from your stage production. Can we talk a little bit about, and I know that you have several shows booked.
Yes.
Let's talk a little bit about the stage production, because it's a massive production.
Yes, it is. It's many trucks worth. It's Los Angeles, San Francisco, Seattle, and maybe even Vancouver if we can get approved across the border. I don't know what the deal is with that these days. But it's called Lukewarm Water Live. We did the premiere version of it last year in New Orleans with the Louisiana Philharmonic, and it's me with a live orchestra and a band of great people, and then a lot of guest stars, and I'm not giving it away because I've already given it away, but at the end of the show we do something that's never been done before. We play Big Bottom. Because I was thinking, what can we do with Big Bottom? You know, we've played Big Bottom. My ex-band used to play it all the time, and different bass players would join it, and so we've done that. And I'm thinking, what can we do that's different? Well, there's a lyric in the song, flesh tuxedo, pink torpedo.
Pink, I'm sorry, of course.
Pink
of course,
torpedo.
Of course I would. I defer to you on all these lyrics.
Flesh tuxedo, pink torpedo. Mm. So I thought, wait a minute, inflatable pink torpedo.
Perfect.
Floating above the audience. I saw it as a vision.
It's brilliant.
It wasn't like a Burning Man vision. It was like a let's get this thing made up on stage vision. And we did. We have the inflatable pink torpedo which floats above the audience in a very teasing way, I should say. And that's one of the centerpieces of the show, Lukewarm Water Live. Adventure in Loud Music is a subtitle.
Yeah, that's right. I wanted to make sure we got the stuff because there's subtitles.
I'm a subtitle freak.
I can tell. I can tell because even the album itself, Small's Change and then Meditations Upon Aging.
Mm-hmm. It's titles are not enough for me now. You get to that point in life where you got more to say than just a title. I've come to what I regard as the subtitle part of life.
On the short video that I've seen of the stage production, Jane Lynch mm-hmm. is on a video when you interact with a mm-hmm. is that a fair statement?
Yes. I mean the conceit as it is that she's playing the role of my ex-girlfriend Cindy Stang, who agrees to, because it's a song about, you know, one of the classic forms of rock and roll songs from the 70s and 80s particularly is, oh God, this bitch. You know what I mean? There's a lot of songs that fall into that, the oh God, what a bitch file. And I just thought, well, that's still valid, isn't it? I mean, we're not supposed to do that anymore, I guess. But it's like, yeah, there's a lot of blokes feel that way. And I had felt this way about this particular, my third wife. To be specific, Cindy Stang. And so the idea was that Cindy is actually being such a good sport. She's singing backup on the song that's denouncing her, which I thought was a...
And Derek, I don't think we've actually mentioned the name we've talked about, but it's the next to last cut on the album is She Puts the Bitch in Obituary.
She Puts the Bitch in Obituary, mm-hmm. that's the name of the tune,
yeah.
Which sort of sums up, you know, can it get worse than this?
I think you know when you hear that title what you're in for when the song starts.
Yeah, and I thought she did when I played it for her, and she I guess she didn't. But, She Puts the Bitch, you know, bitch. You worry.
Right.
I don't sing it that way. I sing it more normally, but for the slower people among us, I think it helps to do
for,
that.
For the emphasis, the last song.
Yeah.
When Men Did Rock. Now, you have Rick Wakeman on and for the audience listening.
And Joe Satriani.
I know. It's an incredible combination. Rick Wakeman, I think most people still recognize Joe Satriani, and they should recognize Rick Wakeman from all those great years at Yes.
Yes.
And in the middle of the Yes's high to popularity, he released an album called Journey to the Center of the Earth.
Yes.
And when I hear this song about the Giants and the Men Who Did Rock, I think back to some of the chords and some of the sounds he was making when he did that live with a symphony, which is appropriate for this album, Journey to the Center of the Earth. But it's the longest cut on the album by far.
On my record, yes.
Yes.
Well, I was trying to recapitulate the experience of listening to one of those classic rock songs that just seemed to, as I say in the lyric, an air would have such power and it would last at least an hour. And so I'm trying to sum up that feeling that this, wow, how long has this been going on? But still clocking at a tidy 10 minutes. And it's basically in the 70s, bands were writing these mini operas, if you will, or if you won't, about ancient times, like the medieval period.
Yeah.
And so now we're so far beyond the 70s that I thought, well, let's write a song about then in the same spirit, as if these were ancient times, because they are, you know, to a lot of people.
Yeah.
But the times when men did rock.
Yeah.
Really.
It was a glorious time. I lived through what you did.
Yeah.
And we still are.
We're still living. That's why we're doing this.
May I ask you one? I want to get there must be a website where people can find the information that we've been talking about.
Yes. DerekSmallsMusic.com.
Easy enough. And that'll give them the tour dates and the information
and
the music that's available.
Yes. And also, you know, other little bibs and bobs, as we say, you know, that would be entertaining for people to waste their time on.
I have one more question. This is the one that I've been waiting to ask you, and it's appropriate now that as we come up on the 50th anniversary of Miles Davis, Bitches Brew. There's that word again, Bitches Brew. Bitches Brew, yeah. So
He knew.
So on the 50th anniversary of that release, which is coming up very soon, I think back to Derek Small's composition, Jazz Odyssey. Now, I know that The World was introduced in 1984, but I bet it was written before that, and I wondered if you've ever
thought... Well, it wasn't written. It wasn't written.
Just felt.
It came. It came. I mean, jazz isn't written. Nigel, I think, summed it up best at one point, my former bandmate, when he said, it's just a bunch of mistakes, isn't it?
Okay.
So you just collect them. Jazz Odyssey. I realized my mistake somewhere along the line with that tune, or that whatever that was, because I was inviting my mates to improvise upon it, and it was two chords, as you may remember.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was a bit much to ask. So that was a jazz excursion, or an improvisation excursion, let's say. And so I've come up with an updated thing, which I call a jazz incursion, called Jazz Iliad, which is only one chord. And I think people might find it much easier to improvise upon it.
Well, I would think so. I would think so. One chord.
Only one chord.
I just always wondered, Derek, and we're just about to finish up here with Derek Small.
Yeah.
Thank you so
yeah.
much. I just wondered if there had been any cross influence between your work and, let's say, Miles Davis as he made this venture into what became fusion.
You know, I heard stories about Miles listening to, I guess it would have been Flower People in those days, this tune. I could never nail it down. Or pin it down, or tape it down, for that matter. So I don't know. I didn't listen to him. Songs were too long. I mean, you know, we were into 4 or 5 minutes. Ooh, that's a bit lengthy, mate, in those days, because everybody wanted 3 minutes, and then here comes this geezer with, like, something that goes on forever. And then there was actually a band called Return to Forever, and I went, no, I left it. Thanks just the same. But, you know, I did hear that he had listened to Flower People a few times, and I don't know if that inspired him or not.
How would you know?
Inspired him to do something different.
He didn't tell anyone, and he's no longer around to ask.
Right. He was a wizened old geezer, though, wasn't he, even long before his time.
Yes. Let me ask you, were you in a skiffle band back in the 60s? So much of...
Yes.
Yes.
Well, I was in not skiffle so much. It was a two-tone kind of Caribbean influenced band called Scarface, which was, you know, one of those bands. It was post skiffle, pre whatever came next.
The only reason I ask that is most Americans don't know of the skiffle, how influential it was for rock bands in the 60s, certainly in England. And then I thought I would ask you, if along the way in this incredible journey of music, have you ever stumbled into bluegrass music?
I've heard a bit of it. I think it's the one with all the twanging.
Yeah, I think that's the general description.
Yeah, it's a lot of twanging going on. And I like the twanging. I like the twanging. It's a great sound. Certain times when you just want to have a good twang.
And they're certainly not long songs, so I think that would fit.
No, they move right along.
Yeah, very short.
This band that used to open for us, the Folksmen, had a bluegrass version of "Start Me Up," the Rolling Stones classic, and they just filled it with twang.
The Folksmen, if people want to check this out further, if there's any more need to subsite, I think they became visible more so in the Mighty Wind Is Blowing.
Yes, that's true. But they were our opening act.
I did not know that.
We did a mini tour, Tapped It, in 2000, play Carnegie Bloody Hall, I'll call it. I called it something with an F when we were actually on stage there.
Thank you.
For your listeners' tender ears, I'll call it Carnegie Bloody Hall. And we played the Greek Theater in Los Angeles and Hard Rock in Vegas and a few other places. And on that tour, the Folksmen opened for us. And it was, a right mismatch.
Yeah. Well, it must have been a treat for somebody, either them or you or both.
I think it was a treat for the people who manned the stands out in the lobby. They sold a lot of goods during
okay. Well, and that brings us back to the give me some more money. That's it's not a disguised plea for go to my website or come to my show.
Well, it's not just me though, mate. It's about the musician's life. You know, you start out busking on the street with an overturned fedora on the pavement, and then you're lucky enough to get a record deal, and then you realize, oh wait, this thing that's called an advance is really a loan. So I'm in debt to the record company before we even start out. And then you do some touring, you do this, you do that, and you never quite make, you know, get your head above water. And then it's the 2000s, and oh, sorry, mate, the record business is dead. Sorry, you missed it. And then it's, you know, streaming, and it's, you got 1 million plays today. That's 4 cents in your bank account. So, you know, you go through all this, and it's still like you're back with the overturned fedora on the pavement. It's give me some more money, mate. It's a musician's life.
I am hopeful, Derek Small, that this album and the tour will allow you to maybe do some color animation if you want to, and maybe a revisit.
Oh, that's so sweet of you, Steve.
No, you're welcome.
You know, it's like aim high, they say.
Mm-hmm.
You can't aim higher than that.
Derek Smalls, this has been a great opportunity to speak to you about the Smalls Change, Meditations Upon Aging, and the tour. It's a wonderful album, and I think it's a great credit to you that so many people have come to your... you just call them. You just call them, and they show up, and the list goes on. I probably didn't mention half of the great musicians that have joined you on the album.
Yeah, Steve Lukather, that we should mention.
Yes, thank you.
He's a very angry fellow, if you don't. But yeah, it's Dave. It's great to have had this have had this opportunity, and the date. I know we start on November 6th at the World Center in Los Angeles, and we finish up in San Francisco at the Warfield on I think the 14th. We squeeze in San Francisco. Seattle, Vancouver.
And Vancouver. It looks to me like the 6th is L.A.
Yeah.
The November the 9th, which is a Saturday, is Seattle. It looks like then November 11th. Looks to be Vancouver, and then November 14th, it looks like.
14th in San Francisco.
At
the Warfield, and it's my favorite place in the world to play, although I love everywhere. But the Warfield is amazing. So wherever you are, come see us wherever you are, if we come there.
Thank you so much for your time, Derek Smalls.
Thank you, Steve.
I'll see you. Bye.